Morning. Today's daf in Nida's Lamed Hey. We're in Lamed Almed Beis. We're at the two dots. We're going to be starting today from the two dots of Dam Tower Shamatzora Beishamai V'chulei. It's about a third of the way down in the Amud. Okay. The Mishnah yesterday on Lamed Almed Aleph brought down three machloks in between Beishamai and Beis Hillel, and the Mishnah is unique in the sense, it's rare, in the sense that these are the times that Beishamai is going to be a Mekel. They all have to do with Tuma, but the issues are not exactly the same. The first issue, which we already explored yesterday, was the dam of Oris Kochavim, the discharge of blood that comes out of a non-Jewish woman. So what is that going to? What is the status of that going to be? Beis Shammai says it's Tzar Lagamri, and Beis Hillel says it's going to be like her Mayanos, it's going to be like her spit and like her urine. Okay, and go back to yesterday's daf where you can get a comprehensive review of exactly what the points are over there, what the issues of dispute are between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. I'm not going to review it right now. The second issue in the Mishnah is Dam Tahara Shamatzara. We're talking about blood, but blood which is normally would not make a person Tameh. So pure blood, I know that's in English it doesn't translate well, but pure blood that comes out of a Mitzara, and what is going to be the status of that blood? So Beis Shammai Amrim, so again, Beis Shammai is of the opinion that she is Tahor Lagamre. In other words, that it's Dam Tahor. And so Dam Tahor coming out of a Mitzara, in this case a Mitzara'as, right? It's female. So according to Beis Shammai, she's Tahor Lagamri. And Beis Hillel says, no, it's going to be Karoko Kamei Ragla. It's going to be like her urine, and it's going to be like her spit. Okay, now, the urine and the spit, that's what's called Mayanos, and these wellsprings. So a couple of things that we already pointed out yesterday, but here I'll review. First of all, Mayanos Shel Zav, the wellsprings of Azav, are an Avatumah. They're going to be a source of Tumah. They're going to be Metamei Adam V'Kalim, and it goes without saying they're going to be Metamei Ochlin Amashkin. Okay, good. That's number one. Number two is the way in which they're going to be metame is through maga, is through contact. And number three, they're going to be metame lach below yavish, only in liquid form but not in solid form. So if the spit were to dehydrate to the point where it becomes a solid, and the same thing with the urine, so then it is no longer going to be a source of tumah. It's only tame in its liquid state but not in a solid state. Okay, these are the basic halachas that we learn regarding mayanos. And we're saying now that the dam tahor that comes out of a woman, so that dam tahor is going to be machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. What exactly is the nekud machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel? So yesterday I went through it quickly using Rashi in yesterday's Mishnah, but now we have the Gemara. The Gemara is going to go through it now in somewhat more detail. We are starting in the Gemara. Dam tahor shamatzara Beis Shammai v'chulei my time de Beis Hillel. So what is the reason of Beis Hillel where the tahor blood coming out of a mitzaras is considered an avatumah? It's considered a mayan. So I'm Rav Yitzchak. Oh, and one other point before I start with the Gemara. Sorry, it's important. Blood coming out of a woman, right? Discharging blood. So is that considered a mayan as well? So as we learned yesterday, no, it's not. Mayan has a property. The property of mayan, it mitaga v'yotze. It pools within the body and then it comes out. So the spit, right? Let's use the two examples that we know. So the spit pools within the mouth and then it comes out. And the urine pulls within the bladder, and then it comes out. Now, I understand you could say the same thing regarding blood, that it pulls within the uterus, and then it comes out, but that's not the way the Gemara views it. The Gemara views it that its first real expression, its first real discharge, is basically as it emerges. So it's not mit'agav yotze. So it doesn't qualify technically as a mayan. That part we know. The only thing that's open now for discussion is that what about its status, its halachic status? Meaning its properties are not mayan, but maybe halachically it is like a mayan. And as we're going to see right now, that is exactly the point of contention between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Again, now let's start the Gemara again. My time to Beis Hillel, I'm Rav Yitzchak lezachah l'rabbos mitzar, l'mayan osav. So we have the pasuk, and the Torah says, the Torah describing a zav, not a mitzara, the Torah describing a zav says, lezachah l'nekeva. And the words lezachah l'nekeva, what is that coming to include? So we have a drasha. So zachar is a riboy, it's an extra word, it's unnecessary. And it's there to be mar ben mitzara for his mayanos. And nekeva l'rabbos mitzara so mayanosah. Now, again, if you look at the pasuk itself, it's not talking about a mitzara, it's not talking about a mitzaras. But by virtue of the fact that these words are extraneous, so the Gemara now is using them for a drasha to tell us that if I have a mitzara, a mitzaras, who has a mayan, who has a wellspring, so then it is going to be, that's going to be a avatuma. Now, my mayan oseha. Now, this obviously needs clarification. What are we talking about? Which secretions, bodily secretions, are we describing? Elam ishar mayan oseha mizachar nafka. So the Gemara says, look, are we talking about spit and urine? If we're talking about spit and urine, so that already couldn't be generated from the word zachar. Why? Because spit and urine are universal. A man has spit and urine, and so does a woman. So there's nothing unique to being male or female regarding spit and urine. So if we're talking about the regular mayanos, that's already covered. So Ella Rabbos Letame Dam Tahara Shalom. So it must be coming to include another bodily secretion, and it must be a bodily secretion which would have been tahor, but now the drasha is telling us that it's tame. And what is that? That's the dam tahor coming out of a woman. And understand the chiddush that despite the fact that it's dam tahor, which means from a nida standpoint she's not tameya, it's also not a mayan, as we already explained just moments earlier, because it doesn't have the properties of a mayan. Nevertheless, I have a drasha. The drasha is telling me that there is another bodily secretion that comes out of a woman, which would make her tamea, and that would be the dam tahor of a mitzara. Now, as far as Beit Shammai is concerned, now remember, Beit Shammai fundamentally disagrees. In the Mishnah, Beit Shammai said that she's tahor lagamrei. What about the drasha?
Sure, so, what orifice is blood coming from?
It's coming. What do you mean? It's coming from. It's coming from a private area. It's like.
Why shouldn't it be in Nidah?
Because it's dam tahor. It's yellow, or many of the other circumstances. Okay, so the Beit Shammai nekeva mizach alawasya. Now, as far as Beit Shammai is concerned, so again, he fundamentally disagrees, and as a result of that, what does he do with the drasha? Gemara goes on to explain. So, as far as the drasha is concerned, so Beit Shammai will tell you, I don't have extra words over here. I don't see extra words. Why? Because nekeva mizach alawasya. Right, the notion that Beis Hillel says, "Well, I have zachar already; that covers spit and urine, and spit and urine is universal. Men and women both have it. Once I say it for a man, I'll say it for a woman. Woman, right?" And Beit Shammai will say, "No, not right." Beit Shammai will make the following argument: the ikal mifrach, mala zachar shekein tam priyo frima vasa betash mishamita. You know there are unique halachas that apply to a male mitzara that don't apply to a female mitzaras. So, for example, by the male mitzara, he has halachas of priyo frima, where his hair is disheveled and he tears his clothing. These are two halachas that do not apply to a female mitzaras. That's one. Two, asur b'tash mishamita. A man who's a mitzara cannot be with his wife. A woman who's a mitzara as can be with her husband. Now, these are all based on drushas. These are just givens that we know is to be correct. Once we know these are to be correct, so Beit Shammai now makes a very strong argument. Just because I have a halacha that applies to a male mitzara does not translate and mean that it goes to a female mitzaras, as we have these unique halachas separating the male mitzara from the female mitzaras. So Tomar b'nekeva delo, u'beis hillel. So what's Beis Hillel's counter-argument? Lichtav rechmana b'nekeva velo by zachar. Well, here's what you could do. The Torah could have written the halachas by nekeva, and then we would have said that it would have went to a zachar. And here's the argument. The argument is that I could have said mayanos by a woman. And we have kulas by a woman. So since we have kulas by a woman, so leniencies. So since I have kulas by a woman, so then we're simply now going to say, look, kal v'chomer. If it applies to a woman, which is kal, it's certainly going to apply to a man, which is chomer. Good. Now, what does that mean? It means that the zachar is extra. Now, this is going to get us to a funny place. The zachar now is extra. What are we going to do with that extra word by zachar? So we're going to now use it to darshan the halacha for a woman. Now, obviously, that's strange. But the point is that Beis Hillel needs a drasha to get to his conclusion. We have one, even though it's by zachar. And we're going to use the classic methodology. Okay, look, I have nothing to add for zachar, so therefore we're going to apply it to a nekeva. Now, as far as the mayanos are concerned, well, that's already covered. The spit and the urine are already covered. So what do we have with that extra one? Letame dam tahor shalah. It's to be metame the dam tahor. That is the methodology of Beis Hillel. Beit Shammai zachar nekeva lo asya. And Beit Shammai says to Beis Hillel, that direction also is not good. To go from the woman to the man, saying that the woman's more kal and the man's more chamor, that's not totally true. Look, you have a chamor by a woman. A woman, when she has a discharge, does it matter how it comes out when I say how? Meaning, does it come out organically? Does it come out with external stimuli? By a woman, it doesn't matter. A zava is going to be tamea, regardless of whether it's ba'ones or it's just totally natural. However, with the man, that's not true. A man only becomes a zav when it comes out organically, naturally. If there's any type of external stimuli that is causing it to come out, the man is not a zav. So you see that there is a chumrah by a woman that you don't have by a man. And so therefore, once again, I can't make the jump neither from Zachar to Nekeva since Beit Shammai, and I can't also make the jump from Nekeva back to Zachar. Ubeisela kambe b'metzora, parchi mila zav. So, and what's Beisela going to tell you? Well, we're not talking about Ziva right now. Yes, it's true. The psukim are contextually talking about a zav and a zava. But we're adapting the halacha because of the extra words over to tsaras and a mitzora and a mitzaras. So the Gemara says, so kaimi b'mitzora, so we're talking about mitzora, and you're asking me pirchas by zav? And Beit Shammai, shem tum aparchi. And Beit Shammai says, well, look, I understand you want to make a distinction between the tumma of mitzora and the tumma of zav. But you know what they have in common? They're both tumma. And so, yeah, it's totally fair to ask a question based on the halachas of tumma by a man versus the halachas of tumma by a woman. I understand we're extrapolating to the subtopic of mitzora, but still, you can ask a question just based on the more general topic of tumma. Okay, so that is round number one. We now have a much, I don't know if it's clear, but a much more developed argument between Beit Shammai and Beis Hillel that when you have the Dam Tahor coming out of Mitzaras, is that going to be an Avatuma? Beis Hillel says yes, Beit Shammai says no, and the Machlokis is Drashas. I know that's an oversimplification, but that's round one of the Gemara. Ibai say Mar Melacha Beis Shammai Har LeZachar Mibai Le LeZachar Koshu Zachar Ben Gadol Ben Katan. The Gemara explores another way in terms of how to understand the Machlokis between Beit Shammai and Beis Hillel. Beit Shammai will tell you Zachar, it's not extra. It's not extraneous. I need it. Why do I need it? Because according to Beit Shammai, we learn out from the word lezachar to tell me that a zachar, a male, is going to be a zav regardless of age. And even though the zav discharge is coming out at a prepubescent age, it doesn't matter. The zachar is coming to teach me that that he, even at a young age, is going to be a zav. And as far as Beis Hillel is concerned, is another pasuk that gets me to that conclusion, freeing up the word lezachar, which now gets me to the drashas of the mitzara and her mayanos. Okay, adkan. That is two rounds in the Gemara in terms of how to explain the machlokes between Beit Shammai and Beis Hillel. You have dam tahor coming out of a mitzaras. Is that dam tahor going to be tameh? Beis Hillel says yes. Beit Shammai says no. What about the drashas in the Torah? That was the Gemara that we just went through together.
Okay.
Could be any dam that comes out of her is dam that's not dam nida. It doesn't matter. It's just, in other words, a flow of blood coming out of her that is not dam nida. So for example, its color is not red, or it could be even more specific. Its color is red, but not one of the four reds mentioned at the end of the second parak. Okay, or like you're saying, it's dam yoledes where it's dam tahor coming out in any of those cases. Two questions asked by Rav Yosef. Question number one. I'm Rav Yosef. Ki pashit Rabbi Shimon Malakish b'zav. So Rabbi Shimon Malakish is now discussing, learning the sugya of zav, and by hachi, so he asked the following question. Now, before we get to the first question of Rav Yosef, let's once again reacquaint ourselves with a zav and the properties of a zav. A zav is a man who has a discharge, as we already pointed out earlier this morning, and the discharge is not a seminal discharge. It is not coming out of the man while he's bekoshi. And as a result of that, it's a different type of tumma. A zav discharge that comes out of a man, so it is actually going to be affected by the number of actual discharges that he has. After one zav discharge, so that zav discharge the first time is now an avatumma. And the actual he's tame, meaning the person who experienced that discharge is tame. And the zivus itself, the actual liquid itself, is going to be an avatumma. It's going to be metame bimaga, with contact, but not yet b'masa. You'll see what I mean by that. The tahara process after one discharge, after one zav discharge, is very simple. You tov on the mikvah, you wait till Harav Shemesh. It's no different than a bal keri, right? A man who has a seminal emission, he tov on the mikvah, and he goes to the, and he experiences Harav Shemesh nightfall, and now he is tahor. After your second discharge by a man, a second zav discharge, now, here men and women are different in the following regarding tumas zav versus zava. When it comes to a man having a second zav discharge, it could be even on the same day. For a woman to be counted as her second zava discharge, it has to be on the next day. So for women, it has to be separated by days, consecutive days, but it has to be separated by days. But with a man, it could be even within the same day. For the second zav discharge, now the man has got more consequences for having a second Zav discharge in the same day. One is that now that second Zav discharge is going to be metame both b'maga uvemasa, both through contact and through carrying. On top of that, in order for the man now to become tahor, he has to count Shiva Nikim 7 clean days. He does not have to bring a carbon on day 8. If the man now has a third Zav discharge, so now under those circumstances, the man is a Zav Gadol. Again, the Zav itself is Metame B'maga V'masa. He needs 7 clean days in order to become Tahor. And on day number 8, after having had 3 consecutive Zav discharges, he's going to have to bring a carbon. So for a man, there is a difference, there's differentiation between having 1 Zav discharge, 2 Zav discharges, or 3 Zav discharges. All that by way of introduction. Now, let's go back to our Gemara. Let's start off with Rav Yosef's first question. Amar Rav Yosef ki pashto Rabbi Shimon Lakish bezav bayachi. So, he was there with Rabbi Shimon ben with Reish Lakish learning, and Reish Lakish, well, I'm not sure if he was actually there. I take it back. Reish Lakish was in Eretz Yisrael. Rav Yosef was in Bavel. Okay, could it just simply be that, you know, couriers between the two communities share the information. Either way. Rabbi Shimon shel zav katan mahu. Okay, so let's say you have a discharge, a Zav discharge that is experienced by a katan. Now, what would be the halacha under those circumstances? Shetetame b'maga. And the question now becomes as follows. Is it going to be metame b'maga? Now, look at Rashi. Rashi writes, ki pashit, ki darish mashit tetame, shni alami bailan, dahamar bina leim lezachar, koshu zachar, vahasam tarti rios ksive, vahazavit zavo. Rishon shel zav gadol nafkalan mehaikra zos taras zav dahinu chada riya dechada ziv ksiva bakra veasher teitzei mimenu shech vazera itkesh rishon lekeri. Okay, the first part of Rashi that I read really quickly basically says that look, by the second discharge that's experienced by the katan, that's zav, that's unqualified zav discharge, meaning in regards to his status it will be no different if he were a minor versus if he were an adult. Okay, because there's no way to reinterpret that second Zav discharge. It's a Zav discharge. And so therefore, all the consequences of having a second Zav discharge will be the same for both an adult and for a minor. Okay. But however, aval, dekatan mai. But here we're discussing now the first Zav discharge of a minor. Why would it be any different? Rashi explains. Mi'amrin kevin de la kari itkish. Because if you read the pasuk carefully, which Rashi just quoted, and I read it way too quickly, it's vasher teitzei me'amrin shech vazera. That in the pasuk of Zav, it says either he has a Zav discharge or he has a Balkari discharge. The Torah in one pasuk is equating the Balkari, the seminal discharge, with the Zav discharge. Now, itkish, kevin de la keri itkish. So since we have a hekish now between keri and Zav, lo mishkacha la ela begado, the isa bekeri. So here's the argument you can make, that as far as having a Zav discharge, because now it's equivalent to having a carry discharge. Well, we know a minor can't have a carry discharge, right? He's prepubescent. He's not going to have a bal carry discharge. And since he's not going to have a bal carry discharge, so even though he actually had a Zav discharge, but its status would be nothing because the Torah equates bal carry to Zav. And since he can't have a bal carry, so therefore his Zav is going to be disregarded. Now, I say disregarded, by the way, it's sophisticated, meaning it's disregarded in of itself. However, it would be regarded in that when you have your second discharge, so then it counts. That first one counted. So that's one way to look at it. Odilma, the Gemara says, or I'm sorry, Rashi goes on to explain. What's the other way to look at it? Wonderfully. Look, what's going to happen when he has number two? So then it's going to count as number two. So if it's significant enough where it counts as one to get to number two, so then maybe even though this minor can't have a Balkari discharge, but nevertheless his Zav discharge, since we know it's going to be applied towards number two, so therefore number one should be considered significant. Okay, so this is the first question of Rav Yosef. Our minor who had a Zav discharge, so even though he can't have a Balkari discharge, physically can't have a Balkari discharge, and the Torah equates Balkari to Zav in terms of its status, and so since he can't have a Balkari discharge, therefore he shouldn't be able to have a Zav discharge, meaning he'll have it, but it won't be halachically significant. That's the first way to look at it. Or no, since we know that one is going to be added to number two, so therefore number one is significant in of itself. He answers his question. So I'm not sure if I read the entire question inside. I did not. Ma'ashe tatame b'maga. Back to the Gemara, fourth wide line down. Zos taras azav asher teitzei mimenu shechva zera. Amar achmana kosha shechva zera shalom mitame. Riyah rishona shalom mitame. The Gemara spells it out. I just read it in Rashi. I thought Rashi was a little bit clearer. But in any regard. So are we saying now that this equation in the Torah between Balkeri and Zav is going to preclude him from Tumah Zav of the first discharge? That's one possibility. Or maybe no. Or maybe because we know one counts towards the second one, so therefore the first one's still going to be significant. So Rava says, on this one, we're going to say an answer, and it's going to be very clear and definitive. Zos taras azav. The Torah says this is the laws regarding azav. Ben gadol ben katan. The Torah does not discriminate between adult versus minor. Ma gadol riyah rishona shalom mitamei. Afkan riyah rishona namei mitamei. And just like an adult, is when he has his first zav discharge, it's going to be a source of tuma. So too, the same thing is going to be said regarding the minor. Okay. Question number one of Rav Yosef in the books. Answer very clear. That when a minor has a Zav discharge, he is going to be treated like a regular Zav who had an adult Zav who had his first discharge. Question number two. By Rav Yosef. Question number two is going to be an even more sophisticated question. So, you have now a Mitzara who has a Zav discharge. And a Mitzara who has a Zav discharge, and this is now going to be his first discharge. Is that first discharge going to be Metame Bemasa? Now, again, let's remember, when it comes to a regular Zav who has his first discharge, no longer we're discussing a minor. That was the previous question. We're talking now just about a regular Zav who has a discharge. So under those circumstances, that first Zav discharge that comes out is only Metame Bemaga, not Bemasa. Okay. And it's only the second and third, only from the second and onward, is it going to be Metame Bemaga Uvemasa. That's a given. Here now is where the question gets sophisticated. Because now we're talking about a mitzora, so already he has saras, and now he has his first zav discharge. Are we going to say that the first zav discharge is going to be metambe bemaga uvemasa? Now, why would we make such an argument? And here the Gemara explains. Rishon shel mitzora mashi tetame bemasa makom ziva mayanhu umetame. Do we say that the makom ziva has the qualities and properties of mayan? Now, what do we know? We've discussed it already at length this morning. The mayanos of a mitzora are going to be a source of tuma, right? The spit in the urine of a mitzora are tame mida araisa. They're an avatuma. They're tame bemaga uvemasa. So now, what we're going to suggest over here is that the ziva discharge experienced by the mitzora also has the properties of a mayan, and therefore should be metame bemaga uvemasa. That's one possibility. Odum alav mayanu. Or maybe no, it doesn't have the properties of a mayan, and so therefore it's only going to be zav discharge, which is only metame bemaga, but not bemasa. So again, a really sophisticated question. Amar Rava Tashma. So Rava says, I know the answer. I think I know the answer, says Rava. The pasuk says zovo tame hu. So the pasuk says that with that second discharge. Now you'll see in just a moment why I'm insisting it's a second discharge. So he's tame limed al zov shu tame. So it teaches us that the zov is tame. That the actual Zov itself is Tameh. Now, what just happened in the Braisa? The Braisa seems to be making a really simple point. That when he has a second discharge, the discharge itself is going to be Tameh. Bemai. Ilema bezav greida. Is the Braisa talking just about a simple Zav? Lachem gorm tumah latzmo lo kol shekein? So the Gemara says, I don't understand. When a Zav has a discharge, so the person experiencing the discharge, so he's going to be Tameh. You don't think the discharge itself is tame? Meaning, if it's causing the one experiencing it to have a discharge, so it itself for sure is going to be a source of tama. So, elapshita bezav mitzora. And it's, so therefore it's talking about the zav mitzora. Umid itzer karla rebuya b'riya shnia. Now, the Torah has to go out of its way to tell me that the mitzora who had a zav discharge, that zav discharge now is going to be a source of tama. So shmamina makum ziva lav mayanhu. Meaning, just give me a second. I need now a special pasuk to darshan and teach me that the zav discharge that's coming out is going to be tameh. What does that mean? It's not a mayan. Because what if it were a mayan? If it were a mayan, so that's it. We already know that the person's tameh just based on the fact that it's a mayan coming out of a mitzora. Once I need a drasha to make this point, so that's telling me that it's not a mayan. So I'm a le rav Yehuda midiskarta le rav mimai. So, look, the argument that started the ball rolling, I don't know if it's such a salient argument. It could very well be that we're just talking about a regular Zav. And don't introduce Mitzora into the discussion. And what was the argument that prompted everything? The argument was, well, if it's causing the person experiencing the Zav, Tuma, so it itself must be Tame. Is that really a salient argument? The Gemara says it's not. Consider, the person taking the Sira Mishleach off the cliff, right, walks it out of Yerushalayim over to the edge of the cliff and throws it off. That person's tummy. How do I know that person's tummy? It's a pasuk. It's a drasha. That person's tummy. The Sira Mishtaleach, right? Is it tummy? No. It causes tuma, but it itself doesn't become tummy. So you see that the argument that you started off with, well, if it causes somebody else tuma, so in this case of the Zav, the one experiencing it, well, if it causes him to be tummy, it itself must be tummy. It's not true. It's not always true. So therefore, the entire bowl now is no longer rolling, and we no longer get to ask the question, well, if that's true, so then what's it talking about? So it must be talking about the Mitzara. All that's not true. We have lost that entire argument. So the Amar Abaye Maiti Baile, Amar Abaye Maiti Baile, Vahahu da Amar Zostara says, Ben Gadol Ben Katan. So look. The Zostar Sazav, as we already pointed out earlier this morning, is Ben Gadol Ben Katan, whether it's adult or whether it's minor. And so what does that do now? It frees up for us the word Lezachar. And it's coming to include the Mitzara. L'mayah nosav nekev l'rabbas Mitzara l'mayah noseha. V'akshe rechman Mitzara l'zav gamor. And what do we know? That the Mitzara now is equated to a Zav gamor. Meaning, basically, we're just refreshing what we already learned earlier this morning. That the Zav Gamor simply means not the first Re'iyah, but after the first Re'iyah. Because after the first Re'iyah, he's not a full-fledged Zav. He doesn't have to wait Shiv Nekiyim. The Zav itself is not Metame Bemago Vamasa. So you only become a Zav Gamor from 2 and onward. And the Torah equates the Zav Gamor to the Mitzora. Mazav Gamor Metame Bemasa, for your Rishon HaShol Mitzora, Metame Bemasa. And so therefore, when the Mitzora himself has a discharge, and even though it's the first Zav discharge, but the Torah equates the Mitzora to the Zav Gamor. And once we create that equation, so therefore when the Mitzora has this first Zav discharge, so if it were just Zav in of itself, so then that's not Zav Gamor. Since the Torah equates the Mitzora to the Zav Gamor, so therefore it's going to be a full-fledged Ziva discharge, which is going to be Metambe Bemaga Uvemasa. Okay, so answer number two. Answer number two for Rav Yossi's question, the Mitzara who has a Zav discharge, is it going to be Metame B'mag V'masa? The answer is very simply, yes. It's going to be Metame B'mag V'masa. Do me a favor, after, okay?
It's a simple question.
Oh.
Zav includes Zera? Zav discharge includes Zera? That's got the sperms and seeds in it?
What exactly the Zav discharge is not clear. In fact, in today's daf, later on, we're going to get a description of what exactly it looks like, even with the description, so it's hard to describe exactly what it is. Okay.
I heard that was the same discharge as Balakir, except that there's one.
Well, again, we'll see the Gemara. We'll see the Gemara. The Gemara is going to give a description. Okay. Amar Rav Huna. It's a little bit like Tsaras. Like, in other words, we know the Torah is describing something. We nowadays don't experience it, so it's hard for us to really identify what it is, in our terminology. Amar Rav Huna, Ri Rishona Shel Zav Metame Beonis. The first Riyah of a Zav is Metame even Beonis. Shenemar Zos Taras Zav Vasher Teitzei Memenu Shech Vazera. Ma Shech Vazera Metame Beonis Av Ri Rishona Shel Zav Metame Beonis. Okay. Let's, before we really appreciate what Rav Huna is teaching us, again, let's recap what we said earlier this morning. When we have a Zav who has a discharge, so that Zav discharge, he only becomes a Zav Gamor when he has 2 Zav discharges, and it has to come out naturally. Now, when I say naturally, what I mean by that is no external influences. If there's anything externally influencing that Zav discharge, it does not qualify as a Zav discharge. So it has to be not be'ones. Ones over here just simply means it's externally influenced. Right? The Mishnah in Zavim go through the various external influences that would negate it as a zav discharge, right? Machal mishta, he ate something, he drank something, etc., etc. The Gemara over there goes, the Mishnah over there go over all the different external influences. Good. That's a given. What Rav Huna now is contending and arguing is the following. For the first of discharge, it could even be bonus. What just happened? That runs counter to what we think we know. So what Rav Huna now is advancing is the following argument. Since, again, we know about the Hekesh in the Torah that equates the Zav discharge and the Baal Keri discharge, now they're not the same. But the Torah puts them in the same Pasuk, so therefore, status-wise, they're the same. Now, we know that by Baal Keri, it is going to be considered Baal Keri, even with an external influence, and, of course, with a Baal Keri, it always comes with an external influence. That's its very nature. So the same thing is going to be true with the first Zav discharge. The first Zav discharge will be qualified as a Zav discharge, even though it has an external influence because of this Hekesh. That's the Chiddush of Rav Huna. I'm going to read it again. I'm Rav Huna, Rav Rishon, Shalzav, Metame, Ba'onish, and Emar. Again, it goes back to the Pasuk. Zos Taras Zav, Asher, Teitzei, Mimene, Shechvat Zera, Ma Shechvat Zera, Metame, Ba'onis, Af, Rav Rishon, Shalzav, Metame, Ba'onis. The Hekesh tells us that the first Zav discharge will be treated like Baal Keri. They're both going to be Metame, even Ba'onis. Tashma, the Gemara says, okay, now we get to go to our Mishnayos and Zavim. And the Mishnayos and Zavim goes and describes what we do after the man has every discharge. Rav, Rav Rishon, Abot, Yenoso. So after the first Riyah, so there is a Bedika. There's an examination that's done. Why are we doing an examination? So that's exactly the Gemara's question. My love, the Tumah. So aren't we doing an examination in order to see whether the person's tummy or not? And the examination to see whether the person's tummy or not is because right now, here's what we're thinking, that the only time that the Zav is going to be tummy is only if it comes naturally and not with external influence. And you can see the Rashi over here, Botkin Oso. Rashi's towards the bottom of the Amud, about seven lines from the bottom. B'shiva Durachim, B'machal, B'mishta, B'kfitza, B'masui, V'chulei. Right, Rashi just gives a couple more of the examples of what qualifies an external influence. But anyway, the point over here is that the Mishnah says, it's a Mishnah. The Mishnah says that that after the first Bedika, after the first Ziva discharge, we're going to do a Bedika. So Rav Huna, you're not right. Doesn't seem like you're right. Why are we doing a Bedika? We're doing a Bedika to see whether it came by Onis or came by Ratzon. So the Gemara says, not necessarily. Well, the carbon. No. It could very well be that the first Zav discharge that comes out is going to be a Zav discharge regardless of whether it's Ba'onis or not Ba'onis. It could just very well be that the Bedika is done in order to ascertain in terms of when he's going to bring a carbon. What do we know? What do we know regarding a carbon? You need three discharges for a carbon. What kind of discharges do you need for a carbon? All three of them are not Ba'onis. Now, it comes out something a little bit funny if you're following well. Meaning that what Rav Huna now is arguing is that that first Zav discharge, even if it's Ba'ones, is going to be a Zav discharge and make him Tame. And the Zav discharge itself is going to be a Tame. Okay? But here's what Rav Huna is also saying. In order to get to three discharges for him to bring a carbon, this one's not going to count. In other words, it'll be the second, the third, and the fourth, and only if the second, third, and fourth are not Ba'ones. Okay. So if you're following well, it's a little bit strange, but this is exactly what Rav Huna is arguing. Tashma, the Gemara says, okay, let's just keep going in that Mishnah. Same Mishnah in Zavim. The Bishniya Botkin Oso. A Bedika is done after the second discharge. So, Lamai. Now, what is that making reference to? Ilem l'karban avala tomalo, ikra kami b'sar v'lo mach masonso. So the Gemara says, is that also going to be for carbon? The Gemara says, no. In other words, the second discharge, everybody agrees, has to be not Ba'ones. It has to be mi bisaro. It has to be internally generated by no external influences, and that we all agree on for the second discharge. So ela l'tuma, umi d'seifa l'tuma, reishanam l'tuma. So now here comes a really strong argument. If this part of the Mishnah is clearly a bedika done to qualify whether it is tame or not tame, so we have to say the same thing by the first bedika, right? And the Gemara says not necessarily mi d'irya hakadisa v'hakadisa. No, not necessarily. The first bedika that's done after the first discharge, that's vis-a-vis carbon. Because vis-a-vis tuma, Rav Huna wants to argue even bonus. The second bedika, okay, that's for tuma. And just because it's in the same Mishnah together doesn't necessarily mean that it has to relate to the exact same topic. Tashma Rabbi Eliezer Omer Af Peshlishi Bokin Osom Mimnei Karban. Rabbi Eliezer says even for the third discharge, your bedika is going to be done in order to ascertain whether or not a carbon is to be brought. Mechlal de Tanakama Mimnei Atuma Kamar. Now, Rabbi Eliezer says that the third discharge is checked for carbon. Rabbi Eliezer is arguing with the Tanakama. What does that mean by the Tanakama? Tanakama says that the third one is checked for Tumah. Now, lo. And the Gemara now, well, I'm sorry, before we read on the Gemara, if we're right, so once again, that means that Rav Huna seems to be wrong. Because Rav Huna says that the first one is going to be a Ziva discharge, regardless of whether it's Be'ones or just simply Megufa. And the Gemara says, lo, Dekule Amla Karban. Now, it could very well be that Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim are both in agreement that the third Bedika, the third discharge for the, with the third Bedika, is only for Karban, not for Tumah. V'hacha be'esim kamiflagi. And over here, the machlokus between the Tanakam and Rabbi Eliezer is just simply a question of how to darshan the pasuk. Rabbanan lo darshi esim. So the Chachamim don't darshan an es. You know, throughout Shas, we have this big question of the es. Do we darshan the es or do we not darshan the es? Right? Kabeit es avicha ve'esimecha. Honor your mother and your father. Sorry, other way around. Honor your father and your mother. And the es, is that coming to include somebody? So see the Gemara in Ksuvos, it's towards the end of the Masechta, where the Gemara has that discussion of whether it's coming to include somebody. But, Es Hashem Elokecha Tira, right? Fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Es is coming to include who, exactly? Okay, so hopefully you're remembering some of these Gemaras. Anyway, but it's a machlokus, a major machlokus throughout Shas, whether we darshan the Es or whether we don't darshan the Es. So the Chachamim don't, and Rabbi Eliezer does. Rabbi Eliezer darshi Esen. And here now is how it would look in our scenario. Rabbanu lo darshi esim, the Rechachamim don't darshan the es. Hazav chada, zovo tarte, lizachar bishlishi. So we have one drasha, two drashas. I'm sorry, I'm not reading the pasuk inside. I'm just going through the words that the Gemara is highlighting. And then a third drasha, zav, zovo, and zachar. Aksha rechmanu l'nekeva. And what the Torah is now saying is that by discharge number three, the man and the woman are equated because the pasuk ends off with the words lazachar lekeva. What is that? Where does that equation take us to? We know when it comes to a woman, it makes no difference whether it's migufa or whether it's mi'onsa, whether it's internally generated, whether it's externally stimulated. It doesn't matter by woman. By woman, there is no distinction. So when it comes to the third discharge of a man, in this regard, his zav discharge is going to be treated like a woman, where it makes no difference whether it's internally generated or externally influenced. That is the opinion of the Chachamim. Comes out now that for discharge number one, for carbon, for discharge number one, it has to be megufa. For discharge number two, it has to be megufa. For discharge number three, it doesn't have to be megufa. That's according to the Chachamim. Now let's go to Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer darsh esim. And Rabbi Eliezer darshan the es. And here's now how the pasuk would look when you darshan the es. Hazav chada, es tarte, zovo tlas. So berivi ikshirechman lenikeva. Only when you get to the fourth discharge, then a man and the woman are equated. Meaning so that for discharges one, two, and three, it all has to be migufo and not meonso for a man. I'm going to ask a wonderful question, which I know the answer to. I'm so proud. And that is, if according to Rabbi Eliezer, the only time where we do not pay attention to whether it is internally generated or externally stimulated is by the fourth discharge, who cares? It's the fourth discharge. Mm-hmm. Meaning, we already got everything covered. The second discharge now brings about the Shiv Nikim requirement. The third discharge brings a carbon requirement. And the fourth discharge, what do we care about the fourth discharge? All right, it's such a good question. But thankfully, I know the answer. And it's because Rashi says it. Look at Rashi on the bottom of the Amud, three lines from the bottom. So Rashi makes the points that I already made. And let's reverse that. I made the points that Rashi already made. So Ella Listira. So in terms of the fourth discharge, so why is that significant? Because what it's going to do is upend now the Shiv Nikim. Kagon, the Pasuk Ve'ezkel is for Shiv Nikim. So let's say, for example, so our Zav now, who already had three discharges and is now in route to counting his seven clean days, Verari Revius, and now has a Re'ia in the middle Shiv Nikim. According to Rabbi Eliezer, Afila Ba'onis Oser, So even though it doesn't qualify as a Zav discharge in that it was externally stimulated, but here we have the drasha, and the drasha is there to teach me that it is a that qualifies as a Zav discharge, which will knock out the entire Shiv Nikim, whatever he counted, and after and the next day he's got to count anew. Okay, Tashma. We are still now defending Rav Huna. Rav Huna says that for our first Zav discharge, so it could be even Ba'onis. And it's because the Torah equates the Zav discharge with the Balkari discharge. And the Gemara, once again, wants to see whether or not this is a provable thesis. Tashma Rabbi Yitzchak Omer Valo Zav Bechlal Balkari. Haya. So Rabbi Yitzchak now makes the observation. Zav is incorporated in Balkari. V'lama yasa la'kel lav la'achmir lav. So the reason why the Torah labels them differently is to create a kula and a chumra. La'kel lav she metame ba'ones. So the kula is it's not metame ba'ones. And the chumra is la'achmir lav, whereas we are now in the Yamud Beis, she hu ose mishkav u'moshav. It's going to create mishkav u'moshav. Okay, so that is our kula and chumra when it comes to the first, well, I'm giving it away, but that's fine. Our first Zav discharge. Now, Amos, Ile Mabriya Shnia Hecha Hava Bechlal Balkari. So the Gemara says, we're not talking about the second Zav discharge, because at that point in time, the second Zav discharge has nothing to do with the Balkari. A Balkari discharge, so it doesn't matter how many sequential Balkari discharges there had. In other words, the Balkari discharge always results in the same Tumah. It's only a Tumah for the day. You tovel the mikvah, you experience Erev Shemesh, you can have two Balkari discharges, three Balkari discharges, it doesn't matter. It's the same degree and level of Tumah. So once you're at the second Zav discharge, you are now dramatically departed from the Balkari. So there is nothing to equate the Balkari with the Balkari and the second Zav discharge. So we're not talking about the second Zav discharge. So Ela Pshita Bria Rishona. Okay, so we're talking about the first Zav discharge. And we're saying that it is, on one hand, like a Balkari, but there are differences. A Kula difference and a Chomer difference. Now the Gemara is going to explain. Now, if we're reading the Braisa again with this understanding, what is the Braisa saying? It's actually being very clear. The Balkari is going to be a Tame whether it was internally generated or externally stimulated. And as I already pointed out, it's really only coming externally stimulated, but still. When it comes to the first Zav discharge, it's only going to be Tame when it's internally generated and not externally stimulated, meaning not Ba'ones. That's what the Braisa is saying. If that's the right understanding of the Braisa, Rav Huna is wrong, seemingly. So Vitizbra la'achmir lav shu ose mishkav amosha b'ri rishona. So bar mishkav amoshavu. The Gemara says it can't be right about the way we're reading the Braisa, because read on in the Braisa. The Braisa says, what about our Zav who had the first discharge? So he's going to be metame b'mishkav amoshav. That's not true. Mishkav amoshav only starts from the second and onward. So we're not reading the Braisa correctly, clearly. Elahachi kamar, Rabbi Yitzchak, Omer, v'alo Zav b'chlal b'keri aya b'ri rishona. So the way to properly understand the Braisa is like this. Zav and Balkari are the same with the first Re'iyah of the Zav. V'lami yatza b'riya shnia. Oh, so what changes now with the second Re'iyah? That's a good way to read the Braisa. And now the Braisa is going to read so smoothly. Shnia la'akel lav la'achmir lav. La'akel lav she'ina matame ba'ones. Oh, now it reads really well. So now by the second discharge, it's only going to be matame if it's not ba'ones. Good. And la'achmir lav she'u ose mishkav amoshav. And the second feature of that second Zav discharge is that now that it's the second Zav discharge, it's going to create mishkav amoshav. The unique tuma where? You sit down on something, the item becomes tummy to the same degree of tumma that you are. But that only occurs at the second discharge. Now that we read the Braisa in this way, not only is the Braisa not a challenge against Rav Huna, it actually proves Rav Huna's point. So on our third topic of today, Rav Huna's statement regarding the Riyah Rishon of Azav, so it's Metame Ba'ones, so it seems like the Gemara has accepted that thesis of Rav Huna. We're now up to our fourth topic of today, and we'll finish. No, not yet. Sorry. Amar Rav Huna. Sorry, not yet. Amar Rav Huna, Zov Dama Lamei Batzek, Shel Sa'orim. Okay, and so here now, the Gemara is going to be giving, this is it, this is the source. The Gemara is going to be giving a physical description and distinction between the Zav discharge and the Baal Keri discharge. Let's see the Gemara inside, and then any other comments I have to make. Zav Dom Alamei Batzik Shal Seorim. So in terms of what it looks like, it looks like water that was soaked in barley. Okay, so it's going to have that kind of complexion. Zov bab mi besar hames, shichvat zera bab mi besar chai. And in terms of the organ itself, so the zov is going to come out of the organ while it is not bekoshi, but as far as to the Baal Keri, it will only come out when the organ is bekoshi. Zov diha v'dama leluban. As far as what it looks like, v'dama leluban beitza hamuzeris. So it is very loose, and it looks like an unfertilized egg. Shechvazera kishura, shechvazera is more viscous, and vidoma leluban beitza she'ina muzeris, and it looks like an unfertilized egg. Okay, so again, an attempt to describe the basic physiological differences between the Zav discharge and the Baal Keri discharge. When I did this 7.5 years ago, I have fertilized. That's what I wrote in my Gemara. I'm reading from 7.5 years ago. I think so. Anyway, okay. I'm based on my own research. That's 7.5 years old.
It doesn't say anything if there's a zera in it.
We don't know. Yeah, right. Dama yales ishalo tavla. Okay. We'll do one more for today. We'll start one more for today. Okay. We're up to the third topic of the Mishnah, and that is, three machloksim between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. In these three, Beis Shammai is strangely lenient, strangely because it's not conventional. Conventional position of Beis Shammai is he takes a more machmer position than that of Beis Hillel, but three instances in our Mishnah, in Nida, on Daf Lamed Aleph, where he is Mekel, where Beis Shammai is Mekel. And the third topic is a Yoledes, a woman who gave birth. So here again, let's set ourselves up. After she gives birth to a boy, so for 7 days postpartum, that blood that comes out of her is dam tame. Then what happens is that from day 8 to day 40, the blood that comes out of her is dam tahor. It's a strange transition, and dam tahor, just to be clear, what that means is despite the fact that what comes out of her looks like blood and has all the properties of blood, nevertheless, the Torah describes it as dam tahor. She can be with her husband from day 8 to day 40, regardless of whether or not she's bleeding. It is certainly a unique halacha, a very interesting halacha. As I already pointed out before, but I'll say it again, we are machmir. We bizmanenu are machmir. We do not employ the dinda araisa of dam tahor from day 8 to day 40 postpartum of a boy, nor do we employ the dam tahor blood for a postpartum girl, which would go from day 15 to day 80. This is not a new convention that we're machmir. This goes all the way back to the period of the Gaonim, right? 8th, 7th, 8th, 9th century. We're already machmir. And probably the best explanation why we're machmir is because it's confusing, and not everyone has a clear understanding. And once you lead to this kind of confusion, so then people will rachmanus will have relations with their wives while they're in nida. So anyway, so we've been machmir now for a very long time on this topic. But right now we're learning the Gemara. We're going according to the strict letter of the law, and that is from day 8 to day 40 after a male, so that dam is dam tahor. To get from day 7 to day 8, so what needs to happen? So first of all, it's very simple. Days. You need to go from day 7 to day 8. And on top of that, also, she's going to be toveling in the mikvah. After day 7, on the night of the day, on the eve of day 8, she'll tovel in the mikvah. That is a given. What if she doesn't tovel in the mikvah? That is a machlokus between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel of our Mishnah. This is the third topic. And the Mishnah taught us, and I'm going to reread the Mishnah again, Dam Yoledes Shelo Tavla Beis Shammai Omrim Keroko Chamei Ragleha. So Beis Shammai is of the opinion that the dam that comes out on day 8 is going to be treated like a mayan. Beis Hillel Omrim Metame Lach V'Yavesh. And Beis Hillel says, Mayan, no, we're going to treat it like Damnida, meaning it's going to be Metame, whether it's in liquid state or whether it's in a solid state. And then the Mishnah ends off by saying, "Umodim yoledes bezov shehi matame lach v'yavesh." Now there's agreement that in the scenario of yoledes bezov, where before she gave birth she was a zava gadola, and before she got to reconcile her zava gadola, she then had the baby. So now, after she had the baby, she's going to have to resolve two tumas. One is the tumah leida. A second is the zava gadola, the shiva nikim of the zava gadola. We already learned together that they cannot be counted concurrently, which means that she's going to have to count for having the baby, meaning for a boy, that's 7 days, and then afterwards, then she's going to have to count shiva nikim. We already discussed that back on Daf Chavtes and Daf Lamed. Okay, so with all that stated as an introduction, let's just start the Gemara. The Gemara starts off, Tanya, we learned in a Braisa. So the Beis Hillel says to Beis Shammai, we have such a simple argument for you. Let's say a Nida, right? After 7 days, she didn't tov on the mikvah. So what is her status after day seven without having tov on the mikvah? She's called a Nida. A woman is continued to be a status of a Nida until she tovels in the mikvah. How is this any different? It's a strong argument. So Amar Lam Beit Shammai Lo, Im Amar Ta Medina Shafilo Tavla Verasa Temeya Tamar Biyoledes Shim Tavla Verasa Shi Tahara. So Beit Shammai's counter arguments is like this. It's not a fair comparison. Because consider, when it comes to a Nida, so let's say she's a Nida, she finishes her Nidas, she tovels in the mikvah. And let's say she sees again after she tovels in the mikvah. What's her status? She's Temeya. Now, if she bleeds right after toveling the mikvah, she's what's going to be called a Zava. But the point is that you go bleeding before mikvah and bleeding after mikvah creates tumah when we're talking about the nida. But that's not true when it comes to childbirth. In other words, after having a boy, let's say she told them the mikvah after day seven, like she's supposed to, and then she bleeds on day eight. You know what she is? She's tahora. So it's not a fair comparison. Amr lahem yoles bezov tochiach, shim tavla v'rasa l'acha yimeis sfira tahora. So Beis Hillel counters. Beis Hillel says, look, what are you talking about? What about the Yoledes Bezov? Yoledes Bezov, where if she tovels in the mikvah, and then and she sees after she counts, she's going to be Torah. Lo tavla v'rasa Temeya. And meanwhile, if she didn't tovel in the mikvah and she saw, she's going to be Temeya because she didn't resolve her Zava Gedola. She didn't count her Shiv Nikiyim. So Amr Lehem Uadin V'hiya Tshuva. And Beis Shammai says back to Beis Hillel, well, we dispute you on that point. And because we dispute you on that very point, so therefore your counter-argument doesn't counter our argument because we don't agree with the premise of your argument. Okay. Now, Lamemer de Pligi, let's just do a couple more lines. Lamemer de Pligi, now on this last give and take between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel about Yoledes Bezov, sounds like they're arguing. Remember the Mishnah we did yesterday? V'hatanan. Umodim Yoledes Bezov Shihi Metame Lach V'Yavesh. Everyone's in agreement that Yoledes Bezov, that under those circumstances, if she didn't tovel in the mikvah, so then she is a Nida. And it's going to be Metame Lach V'Yavesh. So Lo Kasha, Kansha Safra, Kansha Lo Safra. So the Gemara says that the distinction is that whether or not she was so feres, she counted Shiv Nikim or she didn't count Shiv Nikim. Ve'atanya, and here the hay is Benichusa, and we're just going to prove the point. Yoledes Bezov, Shesafra, Velo Tavla, Verasa. So if I have a Yoledes Bezov where she did count her Shiv Nikim, and she didn't tell from the mikvah, and then she subsequently saw. So Hachu Beit Shammai L'Shita son, Ubeis Hillel L'Shita son. So everyone here is going to take the respective positions. Beit Shammai will say that the blood that comes out is not Damnida. It's a Mayan. It's Metame Lach Bana Yavesh. And Beis Hillel will tell you, no. She didn't tov on the mikvah? That's Damnida. It's Matame Balach and Yavesh. So here, if she was Soferis, so then each one takes the respective positions. If she's not Soferis, so then we have agreement between Beit Shammai and Beis Hillel.